I think more when I was Secretary of State than I, because I'd heard about her, but I'd never really met her until she became an activist for senior citizens. So I took every opportunity I could to meet her or to introduce her when I was places where she would be and point out that she'd really been elected first. But I could never figure out how she did it. And I remember that she told me she had stood on street corners, and I can't remember what the issue was, but it was a labor issue. But the thing that astonished me is not only the elected woman, but here, I think I'm almost positive this is correct, that she was married to a Jewish fellow. Well, Salem was a WASPish society at that time, and I thought she must have been really good on the stump. But it's interesting, and good women and friends of mine had run before but not been elected.
So when you were first, just after you were elected and you were getting ready for the legislature, how much do you feel like you already knew about the legislature just from having been involved in politics and being in Salem?
Well, I didn't know a lot about it because I'd never spent much time down there at all. I mean, just very little time. But I think having been in the having been a lawyer was a tremendous help to me for two reasons. Number one, it gave me credibility as a woman. Number two, if you understand our system of jurisprudence, it's so much easier for you to become effective in the legislature right off the bat because you understand what the law is and how it works and how it's interpreted, and then just the machinery that you make it is pretty easy to pick up on. Although some of the old hands that would make end runs around me and never tell me that they were doing it, it never occurred to me that people dealt that way. You know, I thought my policy it's consistent about this, is that I would go and find my known adversaries and say, I'm going to introduce a bill to outlaw snowmobiles, and I know you'll be very opposed to that, but I want you to know that I'm going to do it, and this is why I'm doing it. Because I felt then that you were raising the level of debate, that you were, it was not a personality issue, that you would bring to the House floor the legitimate arguments pro and con, and they're always legitimate arguments pro and con. I don't care what the issue is. There's hardly any of that anymore. But for the old timers that have been there a long time and knew how to use Mason rules or the committee structures to undo me, by the end of the session I was really savvy. But I was always surprised by that my first session. But I had enormous success as a legislator. When I was a freshman, there were a lot of old hands that I really respected, like Stafford Hansel and Bob Smith and others. So in those days, freshmen didn't get up and pop off all the time. And I chose my speaking opportunities very carefully, and when I did very well because I knew what I was talking about and the issues. Plus, I had a very good relationship with the men that I worked with.
Mm-hmm. Did people look at you as being naive for having gone up to your adversaries with these issues?
No, because there were people there that operated on that basis, like Stafford Hansel and Bob Ingalls and Wally Carson, but there were some that did not, and that always surprised me.
Did those people then, with that sort of advanced information, try to stop you then?
No, like if I had, some Bob Ingalls had come over and tell me, Norma, I think you should know that somebody's trying to get your bill in such and such a committee. I said, why would they do that? Oh, well, they've probably got people that are in their district but they don't want to take you on.
Right, right. At this point, there were no offices for legislators, were there? You were still on the floor, weren't you?
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then did you have a secretary then at the beginning?
Oh, wait a minute. We did. The first session, they gutted the basement, and they took they made little carrels down there, a precursor to what you find in almost every office now. You could not have a confidential conversation
right.
with anyone. There were just little tiny
cubicles
niches down there, cubicles. No place for a secretary. So the secretary, I can't remember where Ann was, but we had individual secretaries during the session, but not in the interim.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned that your secretary was Ann.
Wow, she had been Packwood's secretary.
Uh-huh. Ah, okay. And why did she come to work for you then?
Well, she had been out since Packwood was gone, but I got to know her because of the Assistance League, and she and her husband went places with us, the same dance club and that kind of thing. Matter of fact, I was just with her yesterday.
Is that right?
Interestingly enough, she was telling me as she and I had played golf yesterday. We didn't play together, but we sat together for luncheon afterwards, and she said, "Norma, remind me to tell you about this letter I got from Governor Kitzhaber." And she said, "I have never asked Governor Kitzhaber to speak to the Assistance League, but I received a letter yesterday addressed to me at the Assistance League," and she's just a member there, "explaining that he could not speak on the 22nd. She said, "What kind of secretarial help does that guy have?" Anyway.
But you went into the legislature at an opportune time in terms of the House was controlled by Republicans,
mm-hmm.
34-26.
Mm-hmm.
So at
mm-hmm.
least that
mm-hmm.
and I
right.
think then also Bob Smith was Speaker.
Yes.
So
mm-hmm.
did this help?
Oh, sure.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Yeah, it helped. But interestingly enough, when the Democrats controlled, I introduced all my major legislation in 73 and 75, and they controlled the House, and it all, you know, I always got it out of the House.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it was urban.
Right.
And I made alliances with Earl and Vera and Kefauri and...
All right.
Because it was the issue.
Yeah.
We
yeah.
were all working for women's issues.
Yeah.
And all the environmental issues. We had the same approach to criminal reform. So I had more experience than they did because I'd been there one session.
I see.
I was a lawyer.
Yeah. And did anybody act sort of as a guide for you, or a tutor, or a mentor, or in some way trying to help you along, say for instance Bob Smith, who you knew quite well, you know, giving you advice or showing you the ropes in the legislature, how to use them and things like that?
Well, I don't think I needed that kind of advice. I needed allies on issues, or sometimes they'd support me just because they might not even like the issue that much, but they would. But Stafford Hansel was a key figure. Bob Ingalls was another key figure. Bob Smith, when he was Speaker, certainly was. When he went in the Senate, I hardly saw him. But Hector McPherson, L.B. Day, Chris Wally was a big help. We had a lot of things going together because we represented Marion County.
Right.
So we were very close on all those issues.
Well, Hansel was the chairman of Ways and Means,
mm-hmm.
so that was a very good
right.
friend
but
to have.
He came to me when I left the in 75 and told me that if I'd run for governor, he'd support me.
Really? And did he?
Mm-hmm. Yes, he did.
And you mentioned McPherson, and he was the chair of
the
judiciary.
Tony Turi, because I'd known him since I was 17.
Mm-hmm. Right, he was out in Ontario. Mm-hmm.
And Bob Chandler. I didn't get to know Bob Chandler until I was in the legislature, because then he and I were both appointed by Tony and Bob to the Criminal Law Revision Commission, which also had Lee Johnson and Wally and Herb Schwab and John Burns and was Jim. Well, anyway, that Bob and I became very fast friends, and then he asked me to serve on his family board, because he told me all the women had urged him to put a woman on the family board.
In Bend.
Mm-hmm. And so if he had to have a woman, which he had to, because the women were telling him he had to have one, and it had to be me. So he and I became very fast friends, and he was always a sounding board for me. And then Bob just died.
From
Portland. Bob C. I'll think about it in a minute. His wife was on the State Board of Education.
The State and Federal Affairs was the key doorway to the committees, isn't that right? I mean, not to the committees, but to the that was the Speaker's Committee, wasn't
mm-hmm.
it?
Roger I think Martin, rather I, than rules. Yes, Roger Martin and I worked on the TriMet.
Uh-huh.
TriMet, and the region, all the regional government stuff.
Right.
And environmental legislation.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. You were on the Natural Resources Committee,
mm-hmm,
as you mentioned.
Which was the precursor to the Environmental Committee.
And you were vice chair of Fish and Game?
Mm-hmm.
Now, why were you put in charge of that?
Well, because I was interested in the fish issues, and also because Bob Smith was speaker, and he asked me what I wanted to do, and I said, well, I want to be on Natural Resources. And he said, you have to be on Judiciary. And that's the real workhorse, because there were only seven of us that were lawyers.
I see.
So through that connection, I built another strong relationship with a lot of people connected with the law, like the American Civil Liberties Union. So all their issues came through our committee.
What was your view on that? I mean, was it having to do with salmon?
Well, Dan Callahan was my husband's law partner, and he was at that time one of the best fly fishermen in the world, and now he's known for his photography. As a matter of fact, his pictures of the Umpqua are going to be in the New York Times this week and next week. But he was very involved with fly fishing and became very involved with Jack Hemingway, Ernest's son, down at Steamboat on the Umpqua, and he became Tom McCall's head of Fish and Game. So if the timber people and other people had known that Dan was Bill's partner, I think at that time, I don't know that I would have been put on that committee.
What were your issues? What kinds of things did you
mostly
want to work on?
What was happening to the streams with timber and highway issues, water quality, hatcheries.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Hanneman was the overall chair for that committee.
Yes.
What was your impression of him?
Well, he is very conservative, and we had a major confrontation in my mind. He probably doesn't even remember it, but we didn't have an open meetings law then, and things were done pretty much sleight of hand in many ways in these committees. So the Forest Practices Act was going through, and Ward Armstrong, who represented the timber interests, was really the one that was writing the bill. And I think what was happening is that there was pressure from people like Tom McCall and others, and they knew if they didn't write the bill that somebody would come in and write it for them. It was one of those things where industry realized they had to do something and they were trying to control the issue.
Right.
Well, here this wild woman was on the committee, and they were making amendments to it. I've got to take the time to go down and find out exactly what it was. But at any rate, to escape me, they went into the men's restroom, and down our meeting room was down in the basement, and the men's restroom was right here, and the press office was right here. And Clarence Zeitz, who was an AP reporter, and his son now owns the Kaiser paper. Zeits. Clarence Zeitz and was in the press room, and I ran into the press room, and I said, "Clarence," and I told him what the issue was, and I said, "Would you go into the men's restroom because they're having a meeting in there?" So he did, and then that's why Wally Carson and I introduced, and we didn't introduce the bill. The next session, the speaker, Dick Iman, appointed a joint committee, and they put Wally on the Senate side and me on the House side, and Ed Fadley on the Senate side, and then Cole, a legislator, a lawyer from Astoria, and there was another person, but essentially Wally and I, and Ed sat in a couple times, but we drafted the open meetings law. And during our committee meeting, I moved that we put an amendment before the body to amend the Constitution, so saying that all meetings shall be open. It was my motion in the committee, and it passed both houses, and then it went to people. Of course, it was put in there. But Wally and I drafted the open meetings law. It took a long time to do it. But that was one of the experiences that I'd had as a freshman that made me realize we should do something. In addition, Mary Eyre, my mentor, Mary's 104, 105.
Mary Eyre.
Oh, she's a wonderful woman, school teacher and politician. She ran from the Democratic seat but wasn't elected. Anyway, she was then representing the League of Women Voters at the same time I was experiencing this in the legislature. She was going to the city council meetings and just sitting there because the mayor had been one of her students, as had Mark Hatfield and all kinds of people. Well, she would... The city councils would meet and decide all the business at noon, and then at night have the formal meeting, which took 15 minutes. School boards did the same thing. So the League of Women Voters was trying to change this, and it was at that time that all this was coming up. And Florida had passed, before Oregon, what they called the Sunshine Laws. They passed them, I think, in 71, and we passed them next. But it was this experience I had with the Forest Practices Bill.
Some of the other people that were on that committee, Don Stathos was on there.
Yes, that's right. Don Stathos was the guy that was really the
bike man.
Right.
In 1971, we were able to get a bill through the legislature to put on the ballot to dedicate, to change the Constitution so that the gas tax fund would be opened up to bike trails. And Don Staffos was very, very much a part of that. And he rode his bicycle, I think, here in Ashland. And then there was a Republican minister who's still alive in the Portland area who was also very, very instrumental. But everybody, there were big issues going on then, and it was just laughable that the Constitution for the gas tax fund would be changed in any way. And then for bicycles, you know, these are guys sitting down there not realizing the change that was taking place in their society. So we kind of dry gulched them because they weren't taking us seriously.
It was a 1%, wasn't it, that mm-hmm. was going to be? Mm-hmm. I just finished taking
it. But it was a major. Think how many times we've tried to open the gas tax for mass transit.
Oh, gee.
And when you look back on it, to have done that with a Republican-controlled House and the conservative coalition that controlled the Senate for us to get that through. But those two men played a big part in that.
I just finished taking a graduate course at Portland State University, and a former legislator is Rick Gustafson.
Yes, well, I deal with him all the time in the Living Garden Project.
And one of the lectures was just on the bike situation in bicycle situation in Oregon and how advanced it is beyond all other states because mm-hmm. of this particular legislation, which is viewed now as being almost radical.
I know it. I can still remember the day it passed in the House, and how excited we were, and how dumbfounded the traditionalists were. Like,
right.
The timber interest.
There was Bill Markham was on that committee.
Boy, see, I don't remember the well. Bill Markham is I don't remember him being on that at all.
Well, it was Markham. I presume that it was Bill. I don't.
Boy, it had to be.
And Magruder was on there.
I think
he became involved with a six pack later, didn't he?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, Owens
was killed. Mm-hmm. His tractor turned over. Mm-hmm. He was a young man. Yeah, I've got a lot of stories to tell you about him.
Jack Ripper was on.
Yes, Jack Ripper was a good contributor. I remember that. I don't remember the others contributing much or anything. Dick Magruder didn't much want it to happen anyway. Mm-hmm. And Bill Markham would have been representing the very conservative interests.
Atkinson.
Because the Bill Markhams were part of the people that would be doing it behind the scenes.
Uh-huh. On the Forest Practices Act as well.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yeah, he was a timberman himself.
Yeah. Johnson, I think it was Sam Johnson that was on.
You're talking about the natural resources.
Natural resources,
I thought you were saying these men, until you said that, served on the
They were.
I thought
on
you
the
thought on the Joint Committee for Open Meetings.
No. On the joint. Okay. That was on the natural resources.
Don Staffos would have supported my position, I think, in most mm-hmm. instances. Walter Collett was a wonderful gentleman farmer who was a good friend of my husband's, but he would have taken a more conservative point of view. Sam Johnson, he would have been on several committees, so he would not have been sitting too much. But he was more moderate, but he certainly, he would have followed what Bob Chandler said, I think, pretty much.
And you had known him before the legislature, didn't you?
And I didn't know Sam until I went into the legislature. Bill Markham. Thornton is the minister. Thornton is the minister that was so helpful and worked so hard on the bike bill. Harvey Akeson was a Portland lawyer, Democrat, and he would have voted. He was very conservative, but he would have, I think, voted.
with a more relaxed position on that. But he was a behind the scenes player, so it wouldn't have bothered him any. He did it all the time on the open meetings law or scuttling bills.
Uh-huh.
He'd been there a long time. Hollingsworth was a freshman along with me. He was a Democrat. And I can't remember what his occupation was, but anyway. Magruder, I really liked him. He was really smart, this young 24-year-old kid. And Jack Ripper was from the coast, and he was a teacher. He was a very good person, but he would have been a very careful timber industry because they were very important to that district. And Willits is one of my all-time faves. He's this
really?
Little man that was in every peace demonstration. And he was the most liberal. He was almost a socialist.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, when I say that, he was just such a gentle, feather-headed man. But he was in every peace demonstration. You'd always see him. He was...
And then what about on the Judiciary Committee, then?
On the Judiciary, Gordon McPherson, who just died last week from the same kind of brain tumor Bill had in Lincoln County. Yeah, he and I were... I wanted to tell you. Morris Carruthers was very much of my mentor. As a matter of fact, when Bill was appearing before him on a committee, when Bill was there as a lawyer representing somebody, he leaned over and he said, and the chairman said, "Do you have any questions for Mr. Paulus?" And he leaned over and he said, "Yes, I'd like to know when you're going to let your wife run for the legislature."
Really? This was when?
This was before I announced that I was going to run. Because I've done a lot of work with his wife on hospital stuff, and he was very taken with me. Stultz went on to be a judge. I'll tell you a little story for your historic reference. Bob Stultz and I were good friends, and he had a wife, and his son later was elected to the legislature. But I did not know that he was having a relationship with another person until, this was when I was a freshman. Here's the House of Representatives. Here's the Speaker's office. This is the north side of the aisle. And I sat right in the middle of about the second or third aisle. Nancy Fadley, who was elected for the first time, but she was an old hand at procedure because she'd been head secretary, she was seated right next to me. On the day that she was supposed to carry her first official bill, Ed Fadley came in. He always had pancake makeup in his pocket because if there were television people there. He came in with this big bouquet of flowers, walked over to Nancy's desk, leaned down and presented her with this big bouquet of flowers, and then gave her a buzz on the cheek, and the television cameras were rolling. And then he stepped back from behind her desk. When she stood up and went to her microphone, he came over behind my desk, leaned over and said, "How would you like to meet me at the Village Green? We could have a wonderful time there, just like your friend Bob Stultz has with his girlfriend." Now, he'd said that to me on the floor of the House when I was sitting right next to his wife while his wife was arguing her first, or carrying her first bill.
Boy, how prophetic that turned out to be.
So if anybody had ever asked me, I've told everybody in the world that nobody ever.
What did you say? What did you say to him?
I didn't say anything. I was just so dumbfounded. I was so flabbergasted. I didn't say anything, and then he walked off.
Did you say anything to Nancy?
No.
Was it obvious at the time that he was, having relationships with other people?
Everybody has their Ed Fadley story. Every woman that was anywhere within Anyway, Tom Young, he was a lawyer from Madras, I think. And he was great. He was wonderful. And Burns. Keith. Oh.